Now may I gather us together around the reading of God's Word today found in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah chapter 6 verses 8 through 13. Isaiah chapter 6 verses 8 through 13. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." Then I said, "How long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until the cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste. And the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump." And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Your thought for today is deliver God's truth and trust the results to him. Deliver God's truth and trust the results to him. We all, from time to time, wonder how we are most effective in sharing the gospel. We're called to do that as a church. We are prepared for that, hopefully, by our study of Scripture, by our participation in worship, and by the things that are presented to us each week as we gather together in our gatherings, or also when we continue to speak to each other and encourage each other. And as we become more aware of what God is asking us to do, the question then comes, or maybe it's even a burden on some of you, "Well, I don't feel like I'm effective. I talk about you a lot, God, but I don't see any results. The people that I talk to, it seems like they're just as stubborn as they were the first day I talked to them. It doesn't seem like the teaching that I'm doing here, it doesn't seem like it's affecting lives at all. In fact, you know, sometimes they'll come and sometimes they won't come. And so I just don't feel like what I'm doing is making a difference in the world." Well, I want you to pay particular attention to the task or the commission that Isaiah was given here. What happened to him last week was that Isaiah's heart was prepared for the commission that God was to give him to be God's proclaimer of truth in a very sinful land. And first that had to happen there was that Isaiah's heart had to be cleansed, because it was only after God's cleansing of Isaiah's heart that he was able to hear that word and go and serve. So that heart must be awakened to hear that voice of God and to respond to it in truth. A heart is awakened whenever that encounter with God happens. And whether it was a tremendous encounter like Isaiah had, or whether it was an encounter very similar to what the apostles had when Jesus just came and said, "Follow me," either one of those two are an encounter with the Lord. And when we have that encounter, then there is a change that happens. You know, I showed this very simple illustration to the children this morning, and I hope that you caught the message there, because we're not to be like those rocks. We're not to have hardened hearts, but we're to have supple, soft hearts that the Word penetrates, that the Word can change. Because some of us, the church, I'm not pointing to anybody specifically, okay, when I say us, some of the church feels that that's all that they need to do is come and wallow around in Jesus a little bit. And Jesus, a little bit of Jesus will stick to us like mud, and then we'll go out and leave this gathering and we'll be a little more Jesified because a little of Him got stuck to us this morning when we're in this worship service. But all that is doing is setting a false narrative for us because it's based on emotion, and responding in emotion will not last. Only a heart that is awakened by the Spirit will be persistent in that Spirit. And so we are to be like sponges. We are to be like that which takes in that living water, takes in that living Word, and allow that Word to penetrate our hearts. But how do we reach this state of open ears and open hearts? John Oswalt had some things to say in his commentary on the book of Isaiah. And one of the things is, as long as I think I can solve my problems with just a little help from God, I am the sovereign and He is the servant. It is only when we are brought to the end of ourselves that we allow God to reign in our lives and point us to putting our hope for strength and salvation upon Him. As long as we have the attitude of, I can do it on my own, if God, if you'll just give me a little push every now and then, I can handle this. According to Oswald's thinking, and he makes a lot of sense, then we remain sovereign and God is relegated to becoming our servant. Think about that for a moment. As long as we hold a position of sovereignty and relegate God to servanthood, then He will not make a difference in our life. He will not enable us to have an awakened set of ears, an awakened set of eyes, an awakened heart that will be soft to His teaching, His instruction, and His control, if you will, His rule of our lives, that would send us forth with Him, with being filled with Him, so that we can share Him. So it is acknowledging God's kingship that puts us into that attitude of service. If you think back to last week, this chapter started with King Uzziah had died, and I had related to you that King Uzziah was looked upon as a relatively good king. He had that one incident where he took upon the role of the priest, and God punished him for it by he had leprosy for the remainder of his life after that. But relatively speaking, he was a good king. And so Isaiah prefaces this vision of God with, Uzziah has died, and so my good king has died, now what? And God comes in to show him, Uzziah was never your king. He was your earthly king, but your ultimate king is me, Isaiah. Take a gander at me. Take a gander at your true king. And once Isaiah's eyes were open to the reality of who God is and His fullness, His power, His strength, His awesomeness, as we like to say in these days and times, Isaiah said, I'm just undone. In other words, I'm at the end of myself. I have nothing that I can say, nothing that I can offer, nothing that I can hold on to anymore. It is all about You, God. And once he reached that place in life, his eyes and ears were awakened. And then the call of God went out. And that was a generalized call there. And he says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? That call went out, and Isaiah heard that call, and he said, I'm here. I'll go. Because his heart had been awakened. He saw the need, and he was able to respond. And so God says, this is what I want you to do. God's truth is poured into us through His Word, and it is applied to us by the Spirit. And so never lose sight of the fact that to get God's truth inside of us, we must be familiar with His Word. As I've shared with you before, as much as I would have desired this to happen while I was in seminary. You cannot open your Bible and lay on it and have that Word of God penetrate your heart or penetrate your mind. Let's go back to the rock and the water, okay? You can't lay and roll on the Bible, you know, like you see a dog out in the yard, you know, and he's just feeling real good in the grass. You can't roll on your Bible and have that Word penetrate you. You have to be involved with it, engaged with it. You have to let that Word come into you. And then pray that Spirit's enabling power to have that Word applied to you. And that's what was happening to Isaiah here. And then we have to realize that that truth that God pours into us is twofold. There's two purposes for it. It goes out and it condemns. And then because it condemns, it drives us to Christ. Because that word condemns, it makes us aware that, like Isaiah, I am undone. I don't know what to say. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can bring you that's going to help my position. I'm at your mercy. And once we realize that, then that word pushes us to Christ, where we find grace and mercy, where we find the love of God ready to gather us in as a loving father gathers in his children. And so Isaiah here was gathered in by the immensity, the awesomeness of God that awakened his heart to his own spiritual condition, but also began to transform him so that he could see God's truth being put into action, and he wanted to be part of relaying that truth. He said, I see what you're doing. I am willing to do it. Help me to do it. And so God here comes and says, this is what I want you to hear or to say. This is the message that I want you to preach. And after Isaiah hears it, he's just overcome for his people. Keep on hearing, but don't understand. Keep on seeing, but don't perceive. Make the heart of the people dull and their ears heavy. They're blind and blind their eyes. Don't let them see, because if they see, then they'll come and I'll forgive them. I don't want to forgive them. That's the message that Isaiah was hearing. And he's overcome by this and he's had a cry for mercy. He says, how long am I to do this? And God said, really, until there's nothing left. Until judgment comes. Now, how would you like to have that to be your preamble for missions work? Go out there and shut their ears, close their hearts, close their minds, because my judgment is going to fall. It wasn't very comforting, but what it was a call for faithfulness. That Isaiah was doing the will of God despite the results. Isaiah was doing the will of God despite the results. Now, these troubling statements to Isaiah are consistent with that prophetic warning in Deuteronomy 28 and 29, where Moses, Deuteronomy is called the second law. And so Deuteronomy here, Moses is repeating to the people all of the warnings. These are the things that you need to keep in mind when you come into this land. These are the things you need to be obedient to God. You need to be consistent. You need to worship Him alone. Stay away from all of those other gods. Over and over and over again, Moses warns the people because he says, you're not going to do it. And so there's a prophetic warning. And if you read Deuteronomy 28 and 29, you'll see that warning was getting ready to take place in a few decades here, when Isaiah, from the calling of Isaiah and the beginning of the preaching of Isaiah to the people. That prophetic warning found in 28 and 29 that the people were going to be disobedient, they were going to chase after other gods, and they were going to be hauled away by another country, by another army, and taken out of this land, because the land never belonged to you anyway. This is my land that I'm letting you live on, God says, and I want you to take care of it, and I want you to love me, and I want you to be my people and reflect my glory, reflect my honor. And the people said at that particular time, oh, we'll do it. because they were just rolling in Jesus. And it had a little bit of Jesus stuck on them. And so in that emotion of that moment, yes, we're going to do it. Yes, we're going to do it. When I played Little League Baseball, we started out playing with no uniforms. You know, just jeans, t-shirt, tennis shoes. And we were getting massacrated, especially with Hebron. We could hang with Cedar Swamp, but Hebron, we just got massacrated. Well, one day, the parents got together. We didn't know about it, with the coaches, and they bought us uniforms. And we saw those uniforms, and they were the prettiest things we'd ever seen in our lives. And we put those uniforms on, and we were invincible. We were the New York Yankees. There is no way that Hebron is beating us tonight. Because that's when they came on, you know, that we were going to go play Hebron. And so we got delivered to Hebron, and we walked away losers. But they had to score 27 runs to beat us. But they still beat us. And so, folks, we want to get a little bit of Jesus on, and we want to, you know, we want to look good and feel good about ourselves. We want to be inspired in that moment, and we want to go out and change the world by sharing the gospel and teaching Sunday school and serving in the church and all of this stuff. And if we don't have a changed heart to trust God enough with the results of what He's asking us to do, we're going to walk away from the church diamond defeated. And so Isaiah was given a very daunting task. I want you to preach me, Isaiah, but you're not going to change the people, but you're going to deliver my word. You're going to deliver my truth. But you're going to have to trust me in this. You're going to have to trust me with the results. And so your being here today, you sacrificed. There's other things you could be doing today. But you come. And you come and you need to trust God with the results. You may leave and think, well, you know, I don't feel differently. Trust God with the results. I've talked to young people and talked to young people and talked to young people, and they're just like a brick wall sometimes, and you walk away like, my goodness, what is it going to take to get through to these? And then maybe a year later, that same young person that was like a brick wall says something that you told them. What? But now it's theirs. It's not yours. Okay? And so what we do for the Lord, we share His truth and trust that He's going to give the results that He wants to happen. God had reached His limit by the time He called Isaiah. But He wanted the people to hear His truth. So God uses His truth in accordance with His will. We are used as God's spokespersons, but that end result is still up to God. Again, Oswald says, it is our responsibility to not be so concerned with the results of sharing God's truth, but in our faithfulness to deliver it in its fullness. Noah was given a daunting task. I'm going to destroy the world, God says to Noah. I want you to build this ark. I want you to build it this way. Then I'll give you instructions later. And so Noah set about building the ark. 2 Peter tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. In extra-biblical sources are those sources that are not contained in the canon of Scripture, these 66 books. They come from extra-biblical sources, writings that were around that time, mention Noah as preaching. And so perhaps Noah did preach. But the preaching that he did, even though he may not have stood somewhere and proclaimed God's truth, The preaching that he did was a faithful service. A faithful service. Because he believed God, he took God at his word, and he performed his, lived his life in a way that reflected the truth that he believed about God. And he built that ark. Some think it the 120 years that is spoken of there as the days of man, as Scripture says, with the 120 years that it took him to build an ark. It was a big boat. He and his family and whatever hired help he could get, I'm sure, to help him build that structure. But for 120 years, he testified to what was about to happen by how he lived his life. He testified that God has changed me. He testified that I'm thinking differently now. He testified that God's truth is dwelling in me now. He testified that God is, that I am living out what is hard for me to do in the face of adversity and the mocking and everything that I think people are thinking about me. I'm living my life in a way that testifies to what I hold dear and what I hold true in my life and in my heart for the power of God to do what he says he's going to do. And for 120 years, the testimony of God was strong in the life of that man. And in his family. And in the end, Noah's faith was well founded because God held true to his word. And then all those mockers, all those who may have made fun of him, all those who had an opportunity during that 120 years of grace that was being offered, who failed to hear, who failed to receive, received the judgment of God when the door of that ark was closed. Grace had ended. And so what's happening in Israel in this chapter of Isaiah is that grace is ending. God is going to send out his plea with Isaiah. But God has made up his mind that Israel has reached its boundary. That over hundreds of years, he's dealt with them. He was patient with them. He's given them kings. He's given them prophets. He sent out his word. He's proclaimed his word. But now he's reached the end and judgment is going to come. And so God is telling him, Isaiah, nobody's going to hear you. Very few are going to hear you, I should say. Very few are going to hear you. Lives lived in obedience to God, in obedience to God, are silent witnesses to his truth. And they serve as a pronouncement of judgment. And so as we live our lives in faith and we soak in that truth of God, and we live our lives in a way so that people see that truth being lived out in how we treat each other, how we love others, how we love God. That is a pronouncement of judgment upon evil. And it is a proclamation of the glory of God and his power to change hearts and to change lives. And so we are making a pronouncement of judgment on evil by how we live our lives each day. That doesn't mean that we are just to remain silent. But as we are given the opportunity, we speak to others about how good God is. We give opportunity to others about what he means to us. When we are given opportunities, we speak to others about what he means to us. And in the end of this, God did not leave them hopeless. Yes, judgment was going to come. Very few people, Isaiah, are going to hear. But I've reserved for me a remnant, a stump, a seed. It's in that very last verse. Did you catch that? It's like a forest has been devastated. It's like a forest fire has run through and killed all of the trees and just devastated. And what was once beautiful, lush, productive forest is now just charcoal. But God says, and the stumps that you see will be the seed of rebirth and renewal. That's a picture of Christ. Christ on the cross and all of His dignity, all of His charisma, everything that was so attractive about Him to so many while He walked the earth was taken away from Him, and He hung on the cross, looked to all the world as if He had been defeated and silenced. But in that cross, in that moment, lay the seed of life and renewal. And God is comforting Isaiah, and He's comforting us, that God will not allow His word to return empty. It will accomplish its purposes, as that reading reminded us today. And so I encourage us all to trust God enough to be deliverers and livers of that truth of God. So that as we live our lives and as we have an opportunity to share God's love with others, we do that as a proclamation to the glory of God and a condemnation on the evil that surrounds us. And then trust God enough that we believe, even though we can't see results, God will bring good out of evil. It was evil that hung Christ upon the cross, but God brought good out of it. It was evil that brought Israel to destruction, but God brought Christ out of it. And so when we go and proclaim His word, trust that God will bring good out of what we do. Let me pray for you. Father, as we come before You this day, we just thank You so much for Your grace and Your mercy and for Your power to bring good out of evil. Increase our faith, Father, that we may give to You our hearts and our service, that as we proclaim Your word, we will trust You enough to know that Your word will not return empty, but will accomplish its purpose, whatever that purpose is. Give us the faith that we need to be faithful deliverers of Your truth. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.